Hello, and welcome to On Repeat with me, Beth.
And me, Susanna.
This is the Frank and Honest podcast discussing the reality of living with OCD. Disclaimer, we are not mental health professionals. Please visit OCD Action for services that can help and support you.
Talking about the acronym OCD, which stands for Obsessive Compulsive Disorder.
Yes, it does.
Not cats.
Not cats. Or crayons.
Crayons. Or cameras.
Crates.
Cranes.
Oh, cranes. Fun. Claws. Sorry, I'm still going with the game.
It's a fun game. Play along, but as long as you remember, it stands for Obsessive Compulsive Disorder.
We're allowed to play it because we've got it. Yeah. As defined on the OCD Action website, OCD is a clinically recognised disorder which affects around 2% of the population.
It is debilitating and paralysing. People with OCD experience intensely negative, repetitive and intrusive thoughts combined with a chronic feeling of doubt or danger which come in the form of obsessions.
In order to quell the thought or quieten the anxiety, they will often repeat an action again and again.
It's important to remember that the word disorder is part of the OCD acronym. And according to the Oxford English Dictionary, disorder is defined as an illness that disrupts normal physical or mental functions.
Which is why it's not great when OCD is thrown around as a kind of funny personality trait, right?
I'm so OCD.
The thing is, I think a lot of people that might say that won't know what it actually is.
They have a stereotyped version of it.
Which is shown through the media.
Yes.
Susanna, has there been a time where you've told someone that you've got OCD and they've not taken it seriously?
Yeah, I've had people being like, oh, your room must be so tidy. Or people being
it's
like,
not.
No, it's really, really not. Or people being like, oh, sorry, this is probably really stressing out. Or like if I'm in like a working space, people are like, oh my word, my desk must be really stressing you out right now. It's like, no, have you seen mine? No, yeah. You can't see mine because it's under a pile of stuff because, you know, I'm so messy.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it can go the other way, right?
Because yeah.
You find it difficult. And I know this often comes with OCD to get rid of certain
things. Well, hoarding is a type of OCD. And I think people don't realise that quite a lot of the time.
Definitely. It's the opposite of what the media portrays as OCD.
It's the kind of over-attachment to everything.
Mm.
Don't want change, so don't want to throw anything away.
Yeah, and also I've had feelings before when trying to get rid of things, it's, well, for me, it manifests in a way of, oh, but maybe don't get rid of that because something bad might happen if you do. Yeah, is that what yours is?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that voice in your head of like, but if something bad happens because you threw away that old magazine.
Yes, yeah.
Which is
interesting because when I was really little, like really little, like I can barely remember it, but I do remember I used to keep crisp packets.
I remember that.
Yeah, they used to go in my bedside table drawer.
Why did you do that?
I don't know, and maybe that was part of this, and I
probably
didn't know.
Have you got rid of them now?
Yeah, they're not there anymore.
Okay.
But Mum used to have to like prise them off me.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that.
I used to keep wrappers of everything.
Yeah.
And every sticker I was ever given was stuck on my bedside table. They're still there.
So, yeah, they are. So that is a common misconception about the tidiness. I mean, I'm not at all. I've never really had the kind of germ OCD.
I'm not tidy, but it's all an ordered mess. Like, I know where everything is. It stresses me out if anyone moves anything.
Yeah. Is that because of your OCD?
Yeah. Like, everything is in its own place, but to anyone else it looks like an absolute tip.
Yeah.
But I know where things are.
Yeah.
Or maybe I don't know where things are, but that's fine.
Mm.
Because if I don't know where they are and I don't need to worry, then it's obviously something I don't use regularly.
But when you went to uni, and do you feel like they took the illness seriously when you told them it's OCD? Or do you feel like they didn't? Because the worry is that they just think it's it's just a tidiness problem. Also.
Because when I filled in my form for extensions on deadlines and things like that, you used to have to put your, like, why you need an extension. So I used to just put all the reasons why.
Yeah.
So I'd put OCD, mild depression, emetophobia and anxiety.
Yeah.
And the thing that they would immediately focus in on was the depression. Right. Even though it was, like, quite far down the list of things when I'd write it down.
Yeah.
I'd make sure it wasn't at the top. I'd make sure severe OCD was at the top. But they'd just look past that because that can't be the reason why she's having a problem with getting into her deadlines.
No way.
It would have been...
That's so mad, though.
Because it's people don't think about it being a debilitating thing.
Yeah.
They think of it as...
They don't know that it's a disorder, really, which is mad because its disorder is in the name.
It's in the World Health Organization's top 10 most debilitating illnesses. So...
Is that any illness or just mental health?
Any.
Any illness?
Yes.
I mean, I don't find that hard to believe.
No.
But I feel like maybe somebody that's hasn't knowingly met someone with it or had it themselves, that might be quite hard to believe.
No, yeah, I don't think people do, and it's... still very, really not talked about at all.
No, it isn't. Because it's what we were saying before about mental health, and this is amazing, is now being spoken about a lot more. And there are a couple that I discovered great podcasts about OCD, which hopefully everyone will check out as well. But when I have tried to, when I've been having a hard time with it and I try to, because I love podcasts, try to find a podcast about it, it's very often not been, you know, the top kind of thing talked about on podcasts when it comes to mental health. It's more about other very, you know, important things that need to be discussed, but it does feel like this is still behind, doesn't it?
I think it's also important to remember that OCD is an acronym. It's not a word.
Well, you had to tell me that this morning.
because people use it as a word.
Yeah.
As in their...
It's an adjective, isn't it?
Yeah, but people use it as an adjective, which it's not.
No.
Just like you can't be a bit depression.
No.
You can't be a bit OCD. It just doesn't work. Grammatically, doesn't make sense. So, physically, doesn't make sense.
And I suppose maybe... someone listening might think, why, although maybe it might be a bit annoying.
Yeah. Don't take it so, like, seriously.
Yeah, somebody might
so
think,
offended.
Don't be so offended by it.
Yeah.
People don't know what harm's it doing, really, at the end of the day.
It is just trivialising it.
Yeah.
And just creating more of a stigma around something. And just reinforcing these stereotypes. And making it so people don't bother to find out about it because they don't see it as serious.
Exactly. That is so true. And it leads me on to some articles that we found.
We found on the OCD UK, which are another great charity, by the way, about OCD.
Yeah,
check them out. An article on their website about OCD and what it actually is. And they were talking about the acronym and they were saying, if we don't try and influence change, then nothing will change. OCD will continue to be misunderstood and trivialised as long as misuse is prevalent and allowed to go unchallenged. Every time OCD is misused or used inappropriately, it does more than trivialise and add to misconceptions. It also adds to the stigma faced by those suffering. The uncomfortable truth is that retailers and the media play a part in perpetuating misconceptions and stigma around some mental health problems, discourages people seeking help, misinformation can harm. Which is so true, because you'll be watching things and a lot of the time you won't even, I mean, I feel like we'll notice that someone, that character's got OCD, because a lot of the time it won't be said this character has OCD.
Yeah.
But it'll be hinted at. Like, even, like, we both love Friends.
Yeah.
But Monica...
Is she meant to have OCD?
I think they're taking the stereotype.
I was going to say, because she doesn't come across as having...
She's not obsessive.
Actual OCD.
Yeah, she's not, like, having intrusive thoughts, but she's overly, like, she's got the stereotype, and the fact that she just always has to clean, and
the episode where Chandler cleans, and she's like,
but
why is everything different in here? But she doesn't freak out.
She gets excited about the fact she has to clean everything. She doesn't get stressed about the fact she has to clean everything.
I think that's a really good differentiation. Yeah, I think that's a really good differentiation.
just good point. Just okay. Say good point.
That's actually a really good point because, yeah, that is like one of the main differences, right? Somebody yeah. might love cleaning. So yeah. that's why they do it a lot. And actually some people get stress relief yeah. from cleaning. But if you have OCD about
yeah.
that involves a ritual to do with
so
cleaning,
yeah, you're stressed that things aren't the way they're supposed to be, but also carrying out the action to get them to be the way they're supposed to be is stressful.
It's and horrible. It's and also
exhausting.
We know as well that you might feel like you need to keep cleaning, not because there's any more mess to tidy or to clean, but if your compulsion is to clean, as your OCD maybe gets more severe, the more you do the compulsion, yeah. the more you're going to keep doing it and keep feeling really, really stressed.
You just reinforce it. Whereas, so you never see, like, going back to, like, Monica and Friends, you never see her just carrying out the same actions over no. and over again. She doesn't do the same cleaning.
Yeah.
She's just particular about her.
She's particular about it. I mean, the good thing is that they don't.
No.
Mention. They don't use the word OCD.
No, they never do. But it's hinted at.
I suppose so, yeah.
There are many other things where characters supposedly
I really have them.
I've never watched it, and this is going to be like a...
Was it?
I think people... There'll be a lot of people who are going to be like, oh my word, you've never watched it. Big Bang Theory.
I've never watched it.
Oh my word.
Sorry, everyone. I think I've maybe watched it like twice. And...
But I think potentially... Sheldon, one of the main
yeah.
characters, is supposed to have OCD.
Well, that comes up in this article.
Yeah, and I've been told this by people who
right.
are like, oh yeah, this character has that. And I'm like, well, I'm sure it's probably not presented the way it should be.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to read this article then because that is about the Big Bang Theory as well. We found it in The Independent and it's written by Stephanie Lynn Kaufman. The link to the full article will be in the show notes below. So she says, over the last decade or so, parts of society have become more comfortable talking about certain mental illnesses like depression and anxiety. OCD, however, remains a highly mockable mystery, providing inaccurate entertainment to audiences throughout the world in shows like Monk, Glee, and The Big Bang Theory. Shows like Obsessive Compulsive Cleaners reinforce stereotypes about OCD, and characters like Sheldon Cooper in The Big Bang Theory are treated as a laughingstock for their illness. If you choose to learn about OCD through media narratives, you will find that all we do is clean. We are perfectionists. We are neurotic individuals who wash our hands 40 times in a row before leaving the house. Some of us are, and some of us do, but this description by no means characterises the majority of us. All representation is not good representation, and true mental health awareness must come from the voices of those who move through the world navigating these experiences and illness.
Media has an incredible power to rewrite the narrative, to develop empathy for certain experiences and dynamics in our society. However, in order for that power to be useful, we must centre the voices and experience of those with lived experiences and stop treating OCD as a laughingstock.
Interesting. And it's reminding me, however, of a positive representation.
I was about to say about.
Should we say it together on three?
3, 2, 1, pure.
Oh my god. Oh my god, did you know that we're sisters? Yeah, Pure was a 6-part drama that was on Channel 4, I think last year?
Yes.
Where are we? It's 2019.
It's 2018. Well, it might be the start of this year. Either way,
yeah.
It's on all four.
It's still on there, and it's definitely worth watching. It's really great, and it's based on the book by the same name, written by Rose Cartwright, who is, it's a memoir, the book,
yeah.
isn't it?
So it's all true. It's a true story, the book, but the program's then been kind of adapted. It's not about her as such. They've changed the name of the main character, and I think they've changed...
It is very largely based on her experiences.
Yeah, but it's very kind of true to what it's actually like. And she was very much involved
yeah.
with it, I think.
Yeah. So it's all about her intrusive, her kind of violent sexual thoughts and intrusive thoughts about her sexuality and stuff like that.
And what I think is really great about Pure is it's a area of OCD that a lot of people don't even know exists.
No, 100%. And it's what I struggled with from age 16 for quite a few years.
Yeah.
And I know others who have also experienced the same thing.
Yeah.
And it was like a world of just absolute, it did very much take over my life,
yeah.
that anxiety. It felt like the most uncertain thing I could never ever get absolute certainty on.
Yeah.
So that's why it takes hold so much. And it's the same thing with, this is one that I think never gets spoken about for people, really, or it definitely doesn't get spoken about enough, is OCD about being a paedophile. Because, I mean, that is...
She had that as well, did she not?
I think so, yeah. And I think that is something that you could be so scared about talking about in society, when actually you're not a paedophile, you are struggling with horrible mental illness. And there was one I was reading about religious OCD as well, and a lady was speaking about her experiences with her religious OCD and about how it was something that she felt she could never, ever know. And I know OCD will make you think you can never know something 100%, because, and we'll all have heard this if you've had therapy, was it nothing certain apart from death and taxes? Something really
joyful. I've been told that
and read that in so many self-help books.
Oh, my word. Great.
But yeah, I mean, OCD is about getting certainty, isn't it? So anything that you can't have 100% certainty on, it will have a field day.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think Pure was very well done. And actually, it got a really good reception from OCD community.
There's a book called Am I Normal Yet? By Holly Bourne, which is... I mean, it's a young adult fiction.
I really want to read this.
I've got it. You can read it. So it's a young adult fiction book. So a lot of it is quite, you know, kind of dramatic embellishments. But it's very good, and I think it is quite accurate. Well, and she did a lot of research, and she got a lot of help from people who actually did suffer with OCD. Because she doesn't.
Interesting.
Because it's not a memoir. It's a fiction book.
Right.
But the main character has severe OCD, and I think it's very well done. There's also the poem OCD by Neil Hilborn, which is great. And I mean, it's good to read, but it's better to watch him do it. So look it up on YouTube.
Okay, I was going to say, do you want to read it out? But
no, you can't.
No, I don't.
You've got to have him do it. He has to read it. Because, I mean, a part of it is, when you read it, there are bits which are repeated a certain amount of times.
Yeah.
Like, as if he was stuttering. But that is actually part of his thing. He has to repeat certain words. And
so
when you see him do it live,
yeah,
he doesn't always do it the same number of times. And it's a great poem.
Okay.
Really great poem.
Cool. We'll put a link to that.
Put a link in the show.
A little link in the show notes. So, before we finish, how does, if somebody says the acronym OCD to you or around you, or you see it written down.
Yeah.
What feeling does that evoke for you?
You know when number plates and car number plates and the last three digits are letters?
Yeah.
And often you see OCD and I'm like, well, I wouldn't have bought that car. I don't care how much of a nice car that is, but I ain't buying it.
Yeah. So not good then.
Well... I just don't really, you know, want to be labelled with it wherever I go.
You got a badge on right now, mate.
I do have a badge. Yeah, but this is a take action against OCD.
Yeah.
So
I agree. It makes me feel like I found it interesting why, when thinking what to call this podcast, I kind of steered away from having OCD in the title. And I don't know if that is because, for me, it's still, even though I'm talking about it all the time, and I'm really open about it now, and we're making a podcast all about it. The word still...
It's not a word!
Sorry! The acronym still kind of makes me feel like the 10-year-old sat in that therapy room that smelt like stale coffee.
See,
that was back when I didn't like coffee, you see. So I don't think it's bad.
Really makes me feel anything anymore. Mm. But I don't like the fact that it's so...
Misused
and so misunderstood that people see it, they're going to immediately assume it's about a certain thing.
Yeah. And I wonder whether the answer, well, I hope the answer is just to get the message out there that it's not a joke, but also...
The answer is to go out and meet as many people to destroy their stereotypes.
But also, I wonder, like, is the answer to kind of take the word back?
It's not a word, but sure.
Oh, God. The acronym back?
But what do you mean, take it back?
I don't know. Like...
Reclaim OCD?
Should we reclaim it? Should we be reclaiming it? I don't know. It still makes me feel quite vulnerable when I say it, and like somebody's gonna be like, what's wrong, you weirdo?
So, you know, I like telling people what it is when they're like, what are you doing? Because it immediately makes them think, well, that's not what I think of OCD.
Yeah, that's good. You're ahead of me there.
Yeah, because... I mean, I went to university with someone, I lived with someone at university who was like, you've completely changed the what I thought OCD was when I met you.
Yeah.
Which I was like, great.
Yeah, it's great when you know that you have changed somebody's mind.
She was like, I thought I knew what OCD was until I saw your room. And I was like, even just that one part of it changed her opinion entirely.
I don't know, I'm thinking back to when it was OCD Awareness Week a couple of years ago and I was doing a show and it took me a really long time to, and this sounds, I know this might sound really ridiculous, but to pluck up the courage to suggest, because we could suggest different charities to fundraise for. And from the beginning of the job, I wanted to suggest OCD Action, but I felt like, oh, as soon as I do that, everyone's going to know I've got OCD. And this is a couple of years ago, so I was less open about it, maybe. I think I did speak about it, but it was like, I still felt like people would make a stereotype of me or like, so I just didn't suggest it. And then I finally, like towards the end of the job, was like, right, I need to just pluck up the courage and do it. So then I did, and it was great. But then I had to speak about OCD all week because it was like, and it was great. Like people in the cast were like, okay, I'm interested about this, because I said, you know, please talk to me if you've got any questions about it.
I feel like at this point we should just say you are an actress.
Oh, right, yeah. Sorry, it might have been obvious from the word show.
Yeah, but you could have been any show.
Cabaret?
Yeah, drag show.
Drag? Are you watching RuPaul?
No.
It's so good.
I've never watched it.
It's so good.
I feel like I'll get judged majorly for that.
Yeah, you will. I've never seen Lord of the Rings, so I shouldn't have. Have you not either?
I really need to. I've seen The Hobbit.
Why have you seen The Hobbit but not Lord of the Rings?
Very little when Lord of the Rings came out.
I don't think many think that's an excuse.
We used to have it on video.
Did we?
Yeah, years ago, because I remember the rest of you watching one of them on video.
Not me.
Yeah.
I never seen it.
Oh, well, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, unless I...
I don't know. I just haven't got around to it. I want to see it.
We'll do it one day.
One day. It's like you'd never seen Jurassic Park, and then...
Oh, it's so good, though.
I've still not seen it. And you turned so on the TV, you were like, I've never seen Jurassic Park, saw that it was on TV, clicked on it, and then the credits started rolling. And you were like, today is not the day.
That happens with a lot of certain films. I've seen the end of My Best Friend's Wedding.
What? You've never seen the start of My Best Friend's Wedding?
I now have. Calm down. It's a great film. Julia Roberts.
Just love Julia. Have you seen Mystic Pizza?
No.
Ah, it's a really, really early Julia Roberts film. It's got like baby Matt Damon in it. Oh.
Baby Matt Damon?
Yeah. Not baby, but like.
baby?
But like really.
Or just
small,
baby.
Like as in he's like, I don't think he even has a line, Matt Damon.
Toddler Matt Damon.
Not toddler, like teenager.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So, teenager Matt Damon.
So little Matt Damon.
Okay.
That's great. Great film. Right. Highly recommend.
It's going on the list. We'll put it in show notes. Now, can you let me finish my story, please?
Sorry.
I was actually really starting to open up there. I was making myself really vulnerable and you interrupted about Jurassic Park. No, I was going to say, we then were collecting for OCD Action, which was really great after each show. But one of my castmates volunteered to kind of, at the end of the show, step forward and just be like, we are collecting for OCD Action. OCD is a debilitating disorder, blah, blah, blah. And somebody at the end of the show, the first night when he introduced this, he was like, we are collecting for OCD Action. And there was just this woman in the audience that was like, like full belly laugh. And then bless her, like she obviously quickly realised, oh, because it was a comedy, she obviously quickly realised
we weren't
messing around anymore. And actually, we were seriously collecting for OCD Action, but it made me, I was quite sad about it at the time, but looking back, it's like, it just makes it clear that she thought, oh, they're making a joke about OCD because OCD's funny. So I guess that again kind of highlights that misconception.
Yeah, it's not just in like films and television, things like that, where it's like misrepresented. You go into shops now and you'll see all sorts of like memorabilia t-shirts, which are like, especially around, I feel like it comes out more on Christmas because of the C. So it's like obsessive Christmas disorder jumpers. And I remember once seeing, I was just scrolling through Facebook and it was one of those like viral posts that came up, and it was a girl in a shop in America. But she was holding a jumper which said obsessive Christmas disorder on it, and she'd written a post about how this offended her and how she felt about this. And all the comments were so negative and, like, so horrible against her. People were like, oh, pull yourself together, it's just a joke. Why can't you just take a joke?
God, I can't wait for those comments on this podcast. Yeah.
And then she... it was during the time when dyeing your hair silver was, like... Do you remember that book? That was, like, a real, like, fashion thing. Dye your hair, like, silver grey.
Was it, like, Dumbledore time?
It was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, Dumbledore time.
Okay. And someone had written, oh, well, my grandparents find your hair really offensive because they've got grey hair naturally and you've dyed your hair grey.
And
it was like, oh, come on, that's not the same thing.
It's
like,
not the point. It's not the point.
And, you know, she was, good on her, she was calling these people out on the fact that this merch was not okay. And yet she was just being completely shot down.
So that was in America.
Yeah, but what really annoyed me were there were people in the comments who were like, oh, I have OCD too, but I don't find this offensive. Why do you find this offensive? And it's like, don't shoot down someone who is standing up for your cause. If you actually have OCD,
I think
why
also,
are you...
Well, people get caught up on the finding it offensive
thing.
Because it's not just about that, and you might find it offensive, but it's more the reason it's important to call it out is everything that we've just been talking
about.
Like,
you wouldn't go into a shop and find a jumper about depression or anxiety. No. Like, you just wouldn't. And
thankfully,
yeah. So why do you find ones about OCD? It's one of those things. Do you joke about it if you don't have it?
Exactly. So hopefully that has either spoken to you,
been informative,
maybe changed your conception of what it is, or maybe you've just enjoyed
listening to us ramble,
or maybe you haven't, but well done for sticking to the end.
That's quite impressive, actually. I'm quite impressed. I didn't think I would.
Yeah, if you're really hating it but you're still listening,
well done.
What's going on with you? Why are you doing that?
Are you right? You okay, hon?
You okay, mate? Well, that's cool, but why?
Maybe take some time to think about that.
Yeah, listen to the Adam Butson World Talk. Don't know what I've malfunctioned. Right, we're gonna say goodbye now and go carve pumpkins.
Yeah, on that note.
Goodbye.
Bye.